Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to the latest episode of Behind the Glass, the Seen Through Glass podcast. Tony,
we have a guest.
We have a girl.
Our first ever guest.
Yeah.
Oh! Emma Walsh.
Hi. When you finish.
I know, I was like, well,
when you're ready.
Miss Emma Walsh has joined us for the second episode of 2018. Welcome, thank you for coming along. I feel really awkward because I haven't got a microphone in front of my face, so I feel like I need to do like presenting gestures.
Well, our hands are free as well. We don't need to do weird
I know,
stuff.
But I feel...
Why is the girl sitting next to you?
No, because I'm the host. You want to swap? I'll swap if you want to swap.
No, I don't know.
Totally we could have spoken about this earlier, yeah.
We really could have. Wait till the cameras are rolling.
Anyway. Can you edit this out?
This is a new part of the show. Obviously, we mentioned last week that Tony is my sort of regular / fallback guest for when
only
I can't
friend.
Find... Yeah, only friend when I can't find another interesting guest. But luckily, this week, I have found another interesting guest. And Miss Emma Walsh has decided to join us on the show. So, let's kick things off. Can you tell us and the audience a little bit about yourself? Who are you? What do you do? Where do you come from?
Hi, my name is Emma. I'm not from Canada. Yeah. I feel like I'm in an AA meeting. I'm not from Canada, Tony.
Tony mistook Emma's accent for Canadian rather than South African.
It's not my strong
point. How do you do
point?
That? Yeah.
So weird.
It's fine, you've got a Ferrari.
You're so happy now. You've made his year. Okay, go on.
I'm from Cape Town.
Yes, I knew that.
South Africa.
South Africa. Not America.
You're better educated than me, though.
I just said America, meaning Canada and America.
This
podcast
this
is falling apart. Can we start again? Can we start again?
Right.
Emma.
Yes.
Please introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from, what you do, who you are.
Right. Emma Walsh from Cape Town.
Thank you.
I have been now in the UK for about 7 years.
Okay. Does that mean have you done your nationality test or?
I have a British passport.
Damn. So you're allowed here?
I am allowed here, yeah.
Wow. Fair play.
You can welcome me with open arms.
Okay. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank
okay,
you so
fine.
Much. Thank you so much. My parents are British.
Okay, nice.
They moved there when I was born, so.
Sure.
British passport, yep. So I am allowed in the country. I moved here about 7 years ago on tour with Grease, the musical.
Okay, sick.
So it was an international
who did you play?
West End tour. I understudied for Marty, one of the Pink Ladies.
Oh, nice. Okay, the one who goes off to beauty school.
Yes.
Is that
no,
cool?
I
know
that's
a lot
not,
about Grease.
That's not Marty.
Oh, I don't know a lot about Grease. Really? Which one's Marty?
Marty's one of the Pink Ladies, the big, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're doing.
Beauty school dropout.
That's what
not
it
the
is.
Same one,
went
but
back
keep going.
To high school. Not the same one.
Yeah, but keep going. It's great.
Okay, so not Marty, but anyway, you're on
not
tour
Marty.
With Grease. Amazing. So you were a singer, performer,
Singapore,
actress.
But, so people don't know this about me. I know if you do follow me on YouTube, it's a new kind of career for me. Cars and all of that. I was a professional singer, dancer, actress,
wow.
Stunt girl.
Stunt girl?
Yeah.
What kind of stunts?
I did actually a lot of car stuff.
Did you?
I did, and I did the, I was the lead girl's stunt double for The Scorpion King.
So, oh, sick.
Yeah.
With Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No, it was the second one. I know. I should just say you. Yes. Sorry, not interested.
Marty from Greece.
That's
with Dwayne. No.
No.
Okay.
I should have just said yes.
Who's in the second one?
You look so excited. I should have just gone with that.
I love The Rock.
I know.
There's one thing you need to know.
I can't even remember. He was in the second one. It wasn't Dwayne Johnson. Sorry. Sorry to
the question is, though, stunt driver, do you think you're better at drifting than Tony? It wouldn't be hard.
Get out!
Oh.
Wait, I'm unbelievable drifting now.
You want to drift in
I'm
lessons,
crash,
didn't you?
I'm yeah. like
crashing.
Controlled crashing.
Crashing.
No, controlled crashing on
yeah,
purpose.
Yeah, I was
to
say, this is a very male audience channel. Don't
yeah.
say about girls
no,
crashing
no.
in cars.
It's yeah, let's not go there.
Stereotype.
I'm very,
it's
I'm
nice
very
to have
good,
a girl
actually.
In the automobile.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
We're going to get onto that. We are going to talk
so
about that.
It was
that,
a small part of the acting, doing acting and stuff like that. Also, they were looking for small people who looked like...
Smile.
This was my basically my first job.
At 23 years old, I played a 6-year-old.
My first job was my friend was a stunt director, and he said, we need somebody who will look like a 12-year-old child who's driven driven her dad's car backwards to her house. Who's not afraid to drive and cars and all the stuff. And I was like, I'll do it. And he's like, really? I was like, yeah, cool. So reversed his car backwards on a ramp through this house and looked like a small child.
I've been out with girls that look like they've been backwards for a house.
Thank you, Tony.
Interesting anecdote there. Moving on before the H&R come along. Is it H&R? HR. Shows the last time I worked in a company.
Brilliant. It was a fashion store.
H&R, the fashion show.
Anyway.
Okay, so then... Sure, no, but hold on a second, before we get carried away. That you mentioned two things there, interestingly. Yeah. Firstly, people who might know you from our YouTube, because we want to know about YouTube. You are obviously on YouTube and various other social media platforms. But also cars. Is this where your love of cars began, or...?
My love of cars began... When I was a kid, I was one of two girls and a brother who's not interested in cars at all. He was a musician. My family's a big music family, but my dad loved Formula One. So I was the child who used to watch Formula One with him every race, and I loved it.
Who's your favourite racing driver?
Back then.
Now.
Oh, now, Jenson Button. Oh, I know, he's retired.
He's retired, that's back then as
Daniel
well.
Daniel Ricciardo is my favourite now.
Yeah, he's quite cool.
He's just cool because he's always, you know,
he's having a great time. He's literally having the best time of his life.
This has got the best job in the world, and it shows.
Yeah.
He's got nice teeth.
He's got great teeth now, and he had his braces and everything.
But I love that there's a Formula One driver who just loves everything.
He's got a good attitude.
Yeah, he has an awful race, and he's like, yeah, pretty crap race. It's nice being in Thailand.
Stupid video on Instagram, like, you know, miming some rock song and then like gets on with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's great. So yeah, that's
the love of cars came from F1, same as me.
There was a go karting track. I'm from Somerset West in Cape Town, which is quite a small back then. Like, this is a long time ago. It was a small village. There wasn't too much going on, but they had a go kart track, and I was like, Dad,
I'm on it.
Take me there now. And I loved it, and I got really good at it, and I used to beat all the boys, and you know, any kind of birthday opportunity, we were at the go kart.
So you can drive? You're a good driver?
Yeah, I would like to say I'm a good driver. I'm always up for, always learning.
Yeah, but you haven't driven me that much, have you? We've been in a car.
I'm always in your car.
Yeah,
so.
We drove with the 124 Spider. I mean, I did a press trip for the Fiat 124 near Bath 124 Spider.
We were just having a good time. Yeah, just cruising.
I am assuming you're a great driver. I haven't seen any evidence to say that you're
one of my New Year's resolutions. Number one, make more videos. Number two, show
prove
that
you can drive.
Because everyone, you know, I am a girl, and we'll talk about this later on, but yeah, I do get a lot of stick.
You are a girl.
Just checking.
This is really, it's not really that real, but...
It gets confusing with the Caitlyn Jenners these days, doesn't it? Never quite sure.
No one knows. But it's a good point because
those of you that may recognise you, existing Seen Through Glass or Behind the Glass watchers or listeners, may recognise you because you have featured in car YouTubers' videos and you have done car content on your own channel. So it's quite interesting that you said that a lot of people might not know about your previous life. I have no idea when people discover what they come across first, but in my mind, you're car associated.
Yeah, so it's weird for me because obviously my whole career was probably 20 years in the music and dance industry. I was dancing, singing, acting. You know, stunts wasn't a profession of mine that I did all the time, but I did do a few stunt movies. So I came over to the UK in that mind. I was auditioning for shows, I toured, I did backup dancing for people like Ja Rule and like mad stuff. So I was doing really cool...
Ja Rule songs?
Do you remember? This was a long
time. I remember Ja Rule, I don't know any songs.
Always on Time, wasn't it? One of those?
Always on Time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When
she was J-Lo as well.
That's it.
With J-Lo
in it? That's the song, yeah.
That's the song.
Sick.
Always there when you call. That one, you love it.
Always on time, I give you my all. That's the new three-piece coming. BTGSTGEW. That's our name.
I'm never going to remember that. Anyway, yeah, so I came over doing that. I was auditioning. And then you kind of get to a stage where you're loving what you do so much. The money was never that great in that industry. And then, you know, you get to a certain time where you're like, I need to...
Need to become a YouTuber. YouTuber.
I didn't actually decide. You know, I went on a TV show and I went on to kind of, my manager at the time was like, it'll be great exposure. It wasn't a show that I would have gone and actively looked for.
Can we just say the name of the show for anyone?
Made in Chelsea.
Made in Chelsea, if you are.
You was on Made in Chelsea?
I was.
She was on for a season and a half or two seasons?
Yeah.
And so, I remember because the first time we met, we were in a big group and everyone kept saying, oh, you can't ask Emma what she, like, don't ask her what she does. She's doing something top secret. That's who it was. It was Mark. Mark was like, no, you can't talk to her.
Oh,
she's
really?
In a lockdown
don't
contract.
Talk to her.
Don't talk to her. And I was like, who the frick is this girl? And then 2 weeks later, I was watching Made in Chelsea because I'm a mega fan. And I was like,
oh,
look,
that's
Emma.
True. That's true. I remember
you were in, like,
that.
A contract lockdown.
Yeah.
But interestingly, I was going to say for international viewers, Made in Chelsea is a UK version of The Hills.
Yeah.
It was a reality show about sort of affluent youths in...
I'm surprised you've not been in it, mate.
Oh, I got asked many times. It was all the gimps from my school that went. But what I remember being interesting is I met you, as I say, with car people, but your very first scene in that show, I remember you were driving a 430 or 458.
430, yeah.
430. You drove into the show in a Ferrari, and I remember that.
Well, that was it. I mean, I got asked to be on the show. I wouldn't go look for that kind of show. Now I know now, it's a proper dating show. And my agent at the time was like, it would be really good exposure. And I was like, it's not really what I want to do, but however, if I can kind of showcase any talents or anything like that,
Your first scene, I juggle.
Basically.
Want to see me do stunt driving?
Well, I just done a track day with the 430, the Ons and Silverstone, and they got hold of me. They were like, hi, would you like to come on the show? Obviously, the girls on the show kind of just talk and chat, and you're driving racing cars. It would be quite cool to have you on the show. So I said to them, I would come on the show if I could drive a car, do some stunt or fighting scenes, and also sing. And I thought that would at least be like a good platform for me to, get a bit of exposure.
Yeah.
Did the show, did the driving scene, spoke about getting my race license. It has just always been on my bucket list. Don't ask, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I just wanted to get it done.
Race.
On nights
race.
Out.
Race.
It's my racing license.
By the way.
I still do that. To my girlfriend, I'm like, by the way, do you know?
I know you have a fucking racing license. I just thought it was a cool thing to do, and they were like, yeah, sure. And they set the whole thing up, and we did a bit of racing, and did the fighting scene. I had my trainer.
What did you fight? Who did you fight?
I had my trainer in the gym. We were doing some kickboxing stuff.
I thought you went, you like had a...
Spencer and Jamie were just there.
But in Made in Chelsea, like, that does happen. You get like a bit of fisticuffs every now and again.
I haven't seen that. I'm surprised that hasn't happened more.
There was. It's embarrassing that I watch it enough to know that there was a fisticuffs.
Recently, Alec came back.
Yes. The little one, Louise Thompson.
Yes.
You've lost me. I'm getting carried away.
It was Ryan and Alec.
Let's go back to Greece. Okay, so wait.
Anyway, I did the show.
Did the show.
Eventually, I did a scene where I was singing. It was a really good episode for me. It was Christmas and it was a big show. Anyway, I didn't want to date one of the guys on the show.
Right.
The episode got cancelled. They basically just removed me from the episode.
Wow.
What, they make you date someone?
They don't make you do anything, but they do. There's a certain amount of people in the pool that you can kind of date.
You can't bring an outsider into the show easily, right?
Not easily, but yeah. So every...
Anyway, it's cool.
Anyway,
let's not get into it. Contractually, I don't want to get any calls from E4 or Channel 4. Let's skip past that. Let's move it on a little bit.
The whole point was, when I left the show, I thought, I do all these like track days and all these crazy things, jumping out of planes. I love a bit of adrenaline stuff. So at the time, Tim was like, why don't you start a channel and document all your stuff that you do?
Because you knew Tim, and being around Tim, I've always said this, and I'll say it a million times on this podcast, Shmi is the hardest working person that I know in all of YouTube. And if you're around him, and this is the moment that I decided to pick up YouTube, is when we did that trip down to Monaco, and it was Tim, Paul, Seb, myself. What was Tim in? I can't even remember the cars we had back then, but being around him, seeing his workflow, you're just kind of like, I want to do that.
Honestly,
like,
he doesn't stop. He's so hardworking. He's always, I must do this. I'm like, just chill out,
so
like,
I can,
relax.
I can understand why, if you being around and being like open to that space, being
really
like, wow,
inspiring.
Like, yeah, it does.
I watched him, and obviously I wasn't a threat to the, I wasn't somebody in competition with him. I was a girl, I was doing different stuff. And he was like, look, we did our race license together, meet him and Seb. And he said, well, this is a great opportunity for you to document this as your first video.
Start the channel.
So that was my first video.
Yeah.
So I didn't start the channel to be a car reviewer. Everyone's like, oh, you're not reviewing cars. I get a lot, and we'll come to this.
But
I
not many YouTube, they're not car reviewers, YouTubers.
No,
right?
But they will definitely know a lot more about cars than I do. I love driving cars. I love...
I think I disagree.
Really?
I think the majority of us haven't got a clue. I think Tim and arguably James are fantastic presenters, car reviewers.
And I you know, I was spent a lot of time around him when he was filming. He can ramble off an entire video without making a mistake.
Yeah, he's brilliant, but he's also,
he's just so
he has that photographic memory. You can send him some
He's just so clever, yeah.
But I think what I would like to hope the rest of us bring, and I include you in this, Emma, is that we bring hopefully a more lighthearted, entertaining way to look at the car and review it. Because not everyone wants to know whether it understeers at 75 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Some people just want to know, is it cool to drive through city? Or,
well,
you know,
it,
like, that's what I hope. That's what I aim to bring people, because I can't review a car. So I wouldn't put yourself down in that sense, but I know what you mean, where you were coming at it from a very different angle.
I mean, I get a lot of stick, obviously. Okay. I spent a lot of time with you guys in the beginning. Obviously, that became very heavily car-related and therefore got your car fans on my channel.
98% male car fans.
98% male car fans.
Yeah.
So they came onto my channel. So I never started it to be a car channel in the sense, but more of what I was up to at the time.
You were doing car stuff, and I'm assuming the audience were demanding car content.
Car content, But I do, I mean, I am heavily involved in cars, so I do like it. And, you know, the more you carry on, the more people...
What's your favourite car?
The 488 Spider.
Yes!
it actually
Why are you playing into his ego?
Guys? Thank you.
Oh, my God. They are brilliant. But I'm just
also
like,
say, I don't like to say what I enjoy if I haven't driven it. I think that's a good... Okay. I like to get in a car and experience it for myself.
Let's put this. Firstly, let's clear up. What was your first car?
My first ever car was a Golf Chico, a VW Golf Chico White.
Chico?
It was a 1.3.
South Africa special.
It must have been a South Africa.
Chico. Have you ever heard of a Chico?
It was called a Chico.
No.
It was a long time ago, guys.
What year? Like what mark? Like the boxy?
Boxy.
What size? Polo? Golf size?
Golf.
No, you said Golf Polo. Chico.
It was a Golf, but it was quite small. The it Golf's now a lot
But
bigger.
Like a Boxy, it must have been a Mark II. What year?
Oh, probably 2000?
Oh, no. Okay, like a Mark IV. Yeah, I had a Mark IV.
So you know your car.
I had a Mark IV, we're nerding out now.
Whatever.
Okay. Well, clearly neither of us know that car, so we can't really talk about it that much. But guys, if you know the VW Golf Chico, please send in some pictures to us on Twitter, hashtag behind the glass.
I was adamant that I was going to buy my own car. My dad was like, you're not getting anything faster than 1.3, because he knew that I liked to, you know, not race on the roads, but I used to like driving cars.
Tokyo Drift, like turning on the lights.
He wouldn't
want to race, boys, and my Chico.
He was so sweet. I was like, I'll buy it myself. I don't care. Like, how are you going to earn money? I'll get a job. I've always been very, like, quite independent. I was like, I'll get a job. I just want this nice car. And he was coming to me with, like, did you ever see the Uno? Did you get an Uno?
Yeah. I love the Uno.
Do you remember the Uno Turbo?
No.
Death Trap.
Oh, yes, I do.
So he would come to me with these pamphlets from Uno itself going, I'll buy you this new car. You don't have to pay for it. But it was like tiny, small, like a death trap, like you said. I was like, that's really kind, Dad. So
I'll,
sweet. I don't want it. He said, I'll put in this really cool sound system.
Oh,
I was like, yeah, no.
Your dad was exhibit from Pimp My Ride.
I know, he was so sweet. He just wanted me to be safe, I think.
I would have took it and sold it and had the money.
Yeah, classic Tony. classic Tony.
Well, just thank you, Dad.
So, went from the first car. What is your current dream car then? Don't say 488 Spider, because I will leave.
She said
it was her favourite car.
Track or road.
You got one car. I've given you an unlimited amount of money. What's one car that you would buy to?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Doesn't have to be a dream, but just one car, just go. Come on, there's got to be one.
Don't look at me like that, Tony.
Come on.
You haven't got to say 488 because you've already said that.
I said I'd leave if you said 488.
Yeah,
would you leave?
Yeah, I'd be so bad. Because so, I agree, but it's like this channel is going to become a 488 fan channel very quickly, the amount of times Tony talks about the bloody 488. So, dream cuts, go. Just go. I'm just giving you £100 million. One car, go.
Tony's making me feel bad now. How
no,
much are you giving me?
£100 million, just go.
Oh, do you know what? I wouldn't mind the Aston Martin Vulcan.
Oh, okay. My God.
No, what? That's cool. Vulcan, road legal.
Road legal.
Sick. What about a laugh?
She wants a Vulcan.
He told me I thought I was sticking away from Ferrari.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
She would have said a laugh.
Road legal. If Emma turned up, if you were like, Emma, we want to get a coffee and chat about cars, and she put up in a road legal Vulcan, you'd be like... That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty sick.
Mate, if she pulled up in a Fiat Panda, I'd say it's pretty cool.
Aww, you see?
Tony, just because you're hosting us today. By the way, we didn't even mention the fact.
What?
We're actually in Tony's new office showroom.
This is the new place.
This will be my desk.
This is not finished yet.
No.
But we felt bad filming in the bins that we filmed in last week. So we've upgraded ourselves. So even though it's not finished, we're in the new space. Which is why it might be a bit echoey, but I forgot to mention that. But yeah, you don't have to charm our guests. That's not your role, okay?
He's a good host.
Oh. Yeah, that's so just making us feel warm and welcome.
Anyway, good shout on the Vulcan. I mean, I wouldn't do it. You'd be a maniac. You'd break your back. But I still think it was a brave shout.
You said dream car and you said one. I mean, there's a lot of cars.
You said Enzo on the thingy highway. What do you know?
A lot of people agreed with that.
Not as many as the GT2 no, would still be a car.
People like the GT2.
That would be cool.
Oh, don't Enzo. Do you two just want to go and do your own podcast?
Oh, sorry.
Do you two want to go and do your own podcast?
That's what
seriously.
He said.
Please. I had another question.
For me or for Emma?
No, for Emma, a car. We did first car, dream car.
Dream car.
Well, you've got to answer it, Luke. We've got another 15 minutes, mate.
No, no, we've got lots of other topics, but there was another car. Okay, well, let's move
you
on past
remember.
It. No, I don't remember. So actually, well, that gives us a good segue because we forced the segue because, anyway. So, cars being cars, there are a number of car YouTube channels sprouting up in the UK, but the one obvious statement to make is that they are majority presented by male presenters.
This is correct.
You are one of, I can probably count on my hand the number of sort of girls that I can think of who are active within the space or have a sort of presence or a profile, and ranging in size. I can't think of, correct me if I'm wrong, a really high profile female, you know, social media person.
I don't know, not especially not in the UK. I don't know.
Not in the
you
UK.
You can be like, that shit. You can be it.
No, but I think she is.
Person.
I think she is.
Yeah.
Like, if
I'm
you
not
think
doing
about
a great job, then if that's me, if I'm that person, I need to up it up.
If we think, I'm going to try and name them now. Let's try them out. This will be a test for us.
Okay.
Let's pick five girls. Emma.
Nikki Shields.
Who's new to the YouTube.
She's a presenter though, right?
She's from a presenting
background.
But
she's doing social media
stuff. She's decided to do YouTube now as well, yeah.
Queen Bee. Skulls and Snaps, Joe.
Is she still doing it?
Yeah, she's always on. Oh yeah, she's, well she's putting out videos. She puts out as many videos as you do. So, I would say yes.
Oops.
Who else?
I don't know.
Mate,
anyone else?
No, it's nobody looking at me.
It must be. Someone, girl's going to troll me now and say that I'm. Who is the girl? Oh no. Get palmed.
Who's
that? Sarah, who does the Amazing Roads on Drive Tribe. She's good.
Why don't I know her?
Maybe she does. I don't think she presents videos though.
Okay.
Again, proof
it.
In the pudding.
That's
we're
it.
Struggling.
So, and you could name how many guys could do
this?
Oh my
God, I don't
so
want to
many
start.
Guys.
Don't
so what
start.
Am I doing? I
should
what
are you
be.
Doing?
I should be taking.
Well, no,
this
but
by
why
the
do you think that is? Because surely, as you said, you started off your YouTube channel collaborating a lot with us,
yeah.
with the existing UK car. So I'm assuming a lot of your audience are very male, very car obsessed audience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so.
However, I did a fitness video and. A lot of them really liked it.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean,
a lot of 12-year-old boys enjoyed watching a girl work out.
Oh, God, I'm just into that.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's not what
me,
I meant.
This is what I'm saying. This is what's interesting is, what is the reaction you get? Because I would imagine there are some trolls out there who must give you a hard time.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I've had an awful time with trolls.
Oh, I feel bad. Uh-huh. If that's any of my audience, sit down,
rude,
guys.
Rude, yeah. Yeah, I've had a pretty... I think Instagram's... fine. I've maybe had one or two people that have been quite rude on Instagram. YouTube's horrendous.
Really?
Yeah.
But I think that's across the board.
Yeah.
But is it attacking you because you're a girl or is it attacking you in general?
Oh, because I'm a girl.
Really?
For sure, yeah. I mean, when I went in the FXXK up the hill, there's not much to say because you're kind of...
in an FXX
curve. You're blown away. You can't breathe around the corners. You feel like it's so quick. People don't realize that your chest is kind of. And also, I'm lost for words in the best of times. They give me a script, I'll learn it, and I'll perform it on stage. But like one-on-one, I can actually be quite shy. So
amazing.
I'm in the car, and I'm like,
"Why is that amazing?"
She doesn't come across like that.
This is. Shut up. Seriously,
let her speak.
Tony and Emma's podcast coming next week on their own channel.
Do you? Yeah. Anyway, so the end of the thing came, and he was like, "How was that?" And I was like, "All I could say was, oh my god, that was so fast because it was so fast."
Yeah.
And someone was like, "Oh, what a stupid girl. What does she know about cars? You know, she'd just been in the FXXK and all she can say is, wow, that's so fast." I'm like, you get in a car like that.
And try and talk.
Describe that? It is amazing. Like, that's
what I would find interesting, though, and I don't know if you know this, but for me, my audience, what I find on YouTube, I have this incredible core base of supporters who are super loyal, super enthusiastic, want to plug in, want to tune in. I then have this other group which kind of like pick and choose what they watch. Again, they enjoy what's going on. And then you have a sort of final group that maybe watched one video and subscribed and don't come back. Mm. Those are the people who are commenting. So there's a whole load of other people who I don't know who they are, but those are the people who are commenting. Then on top of that, you just have trolls. And I don't know where they're from. I don't know where they come from that they say, you know, why'd you make homoerotic noises every time you review a car? I don't know. Didn't realise I was even doing it. Why are you bald? Like, why did you go to Eton versus Tony? what I'd be intrigued by, do you feel like you have that core audience that are loyal to you? And do you think they're the same audience that we have? Or do you think there's a girls? Do you think that, like...
I do have a lot of girls. It was so weird, actually. I was on a photo shoot the other day before a fitness event, and the photographer found me afterwards, and she said, I just had to come and introduce myself. And I was like, hi. I thought it was going to be like a Made in Chelsea thing. And she went, she actually works with McLaren. She's like, I'm a photographer and I work with McLaren, an engineer, and I follow your YouTube and I just think it's amazing what you're doing. I said, so it's so nice to, like, because I get so much, you know,
abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're human as well. Like, I see a lot of positive, but you always kind of focus in on the abuse.
Yeah,
they're personal as well.
You have to have incredibly thick skin.
Well, I mean, I got obviously Made in Chelsea made me very thick skinned. I'm South African, so I'm thick skinned kind of anyway. But I have grown up in an industry where it is very judgmental. I go to auditions, you know, 99% of the time you don't get it. You've got the wrong hair color. You're too thin. You're too fat. That was my whole career. So I have become kind of thick skinned, also slash sensitive.
Of course. Yeah. But it's quite different, I think, when you create something. I mean, actually, I'm making a huge assumption there. But to me, the attack is that's something I've slaved away and created to give somebody for free, and then they're attacking
it. But that's it. I'm like, don't watch it. Channel is my life experience. It's what I'm experiencing. Today, yes, Jag has asked me to go drive in their car. I'm going to go do it. I'll film it for you. This is my experience. It's not... And if you want to watch it, watch it.
I don't have to film it for you.
No, yeah, I don't need to film it at all, yeah.
It's a shame that the few can then sometimes affect you so much because, as I say, I'm super fortunate. I'm aware that the majority of the guys tuning into this and the videos are super supportive and super positive. And actually, I want to turn it on to you, Tony, a little bit because, obviously, predominantly, biggest part of your life, you were a car salesman, working hard, smashing away. I came along and...
ruined
your life. And now you're a social media sensation.
Apparently.
But that comes with its pitfalls, I'm sure. And I'm sure it's changed how you do your business. I'm sure it's... I mean, but you must get trolls. Surely you must get trolls. I think my audience, unfortunately, love you, which is frustrating because I wish I could get rid of you now.
You can't get rid of me. No. I don't care about
them. Yeah, but it must be weird for you to witness that. That can't be anything you've experienced before.
So at first... when I first started doing stuff for you, I was a bit put back by it. I didn't care, but I was a bit like...
dicks.
If someone says something back to me, I'll retaliate.
Sure. I remember seeing you writing a lot of comments.
And you said to me, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't. But it really doesn't bother me now. And I don't get a load of it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through a stage where I actually just stopped filming stuff.
Really?
I was so self-conscious. I know, but I was so self-conscious. I was like, oh, gosh, if I get one more comment about this or that, it's quite personal as well. I just don't even want to hear it. But also, like, commenting back to some people sometimes, I used to just be like, thanks so much for watching. Thanks for the view. I would just be like quite sarcastic.
Oh, I'm super sarcastic.
99% of the time, they would write back and apologize and then subscribe.
Keyboard warriors.
That's keyboard warriors.
It's, you know, it's the dark side of social media.
And
thank God for the loyal, amazing people who then support you. And just when you've read five horrendous comments about the growth of a spot that you have on your forehead, someone comes along and goes, like, this was an amazing video. And
you have a spot on your head. I know. Like, I've looked in the mirror this morning. I know it's there.
But no one's perfect. No one's perfect.
Except Tony.
Yeah, I am perfect. I know everything. I've got a Ferrari.
You've got a Ferrari, and that's it.
That's so true.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll move on to our very final topic, which I guess now going to have to be a little bit shorter because we've overrun on a few other topics. It's been very interesting having you here, Emma. Thank you for coming and joining us. Our first guest. We've done so well.
Who's next?
I'm still here, Tony. Don't get rid of me already.
Trying to rush out the door. It's kind of falling in line, but it's about work and it's about jobs, because the three of us have ended up on social media through very different routes. And I know a lot of you guys listening and watching often get in touch with me saying, you know, what should I do at university? What A-levels do I need? How do I get into YouTube? There's always these sort of questions of what do you do for a job? And there is no straightforward path in life to anything, is there? There's firstly no easy way to make money. And also, you're not going to get your first job and that's a job for the rest of your life. For sure had three careers, personally. I went to the music industry, I did the PR stuff, and I've ended up in YouTube. And those were 4 years, 6 years, 3 years. So they're very different careers and career sets. Emma, correct me if I'm wrong, but judging from your Instagram bio, you still have a number of feathers, strings to your bow.
Yeah.
You do a lot of things you always have from your performing and singing and dancing and now where you've got to here. And Tony, you weren't always a car salesman, were you?
No. Many, 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 many years ago, I was a bus driver.
There we go.
I was a London bus driver.
So,
15 years ago.
People often panic and think, I've got to get this first job, which is then going to be the job for most of my life, and I've got to make the right decisions. But let's analyse all three of us very quickly. Emma, did you ever consider a 9-to-5 job?
I've probably worked most jobs ever in the world.
Really?
Yeah, because when you're performing, like if you don't have a job,
you're not making money.
You're not making money. You need to, like.
So you would just take anything.
I would do office work. I've done sales jobs. I've done everything.
No way.
Yeah,
okay.
I've done some pretty horrendous jobs as well.
And were you ever tempted to make it? Was anything fun enough to go, actually, I could stick at this?
I personally can't sit in an office for 9-to-5.
Okay.
I'd go mad.
So it was always a way to support the other stuff you wanted to do.
Yeah, I just had to, you know, pay your bills and stuff. I think it's that just me personally. I like to keep busy. I like to make sure I'm doing different stuff all the time. Don't listen to anyone else and do what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I can advise. It's just don't.
But it's important, because how did you make the transition from bus driver to car empresario?
Well, I had a vision that I wanted a big house and a nice car.
Okay.
How I was going to get that, I never knew.
Sure,
but that's what
but that was you
so
just
that
knew
was,
that was
that was my goal.
I want
make
that
money,
too, Tony,
make it happen.
So maybe we should have a,
again
maybe we should
the
have a
T&E
chat.
Podcast so, coming soon.
So I figured out very quickly. I'm not clever in terms of academically.
Well, it's no surprise.
No.
Sure,
but if you work harder than anyone you know, you'll get on in life. So
it's
that's always been my. Goal.
That I think
work
it's
harder than anyone you know.
That's exactly it. I think whatever you're doing, if you're working your ass off, it can't go wrong. Because even if it's a job that you don't enjoy, bust a gut. I had an argument with Twitter about somebody about this, who was saying, you know, oh, somebody goes to work for McDonald's, you're wasting your time. Like,
you're not wasting your time doing anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's an experience and you're learning, and you never know.
Absolutely.
You know, you might suddenly get a pay rise or a bonus, or we made store managers and all that. But get out there and do it and work your butt off and commit, and it will pay off. No one gets anywhere from being lazy. And I'm going to find this. It's on my Twitter, actually. The most inspirational thing I've ever seen in my life was Will Smith talking about failure. Did you see this?
I saw it.
Oh my God, it's on Insta stories.
And he was bang on, you know.
And he is absolutely fantastic. Now, Will Smith is a Scientologist. So
is he?
We'll just put that out quickly. Because
so am I. No.
But it's an amazing speech, and I'm not going to try and summarise it that much, but please go over to my Twitter and watch it. I'm sure you can find it on Twitter otherwise. Essentially saying that failure is an essential part of success.
It's true.
And that you have to fail. But you have to seek out failure. That's what I thought was so interesting, is that a lot of people get scared, get nervous, oh, I don't want to do that, what if that goes wrong? He says, unless you're striving for failure, you will never succeed.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it. You're not, obviously you're not going to go look for failure.
But no, but he's saying you should.
But 99% of the time you are going to fail in whatever you're doing. You're
it's like, this is a very bad example, but like gambling. If you bet £1,000 and you win 4-1, you're going to get £4,000. If you only bet £1, you're going to get £4. So the winnings are bigger. Yeah. You've got to take that risk. Now, that's an awful example because gambling is bad. But in life, you have to sometimes take those risks. And I think that's what he means. Strive for failure. Yeah. Push yourself to the point where you think things could
the
go
thing
wrong.
Is, just say yes and try
just
it.
Just say yes. That was a good move.
Just say yes.
Gambling is not bad if you can afford it, man.
Stop encouraging gambling. Stop.
No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, everyday life is a gamble. My job is a gamble.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I don't think we should condone going to a casino.
No bet 365.
No bet 365. Oh, my God.
Just my thing is just say yes. If you don't like it, you can always not do it.
Yeah, well, you can always quit as long as you've got a backup. We've got super preachy, which I feel like these podcasts get super preachy every now and again. I don't quite know why.
Why are we preaching anyway?
I think I like to tell our story. Everyone can make up their own mind, but we are three very different people. They're different points in our lives, doing slightly different things, but we're all on social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are judging us and, you know, trying to... I don't know, not following our footsteps, but they, you know, they want to replicate it somehow. Yeah. So we can at least try and impart some knowledge, I guess. Probably not. Anyway, that is our 35-minute time slot up. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you very much. We should clap.
Brilliant.
Let's clap.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Our first guest. I hope you guys have enjoyed the dynamic of having all three of us. As I say, unfortunately, Tony won't always be here, but it felt good to have
him. Business
to
run. So
he's got a business to run.
Leaves it with you, really.
It leaves it with me, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure that you are subscribing to the Behind the Glass YouTube channel if you want to watch these episodes. If not, you can find us on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass. Or on iTunes podcast, to search Behind the Glass or Seen Through Glass. Anything you want to add? Any last words?
Goodbye.
Goodbye as well, yeah.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.